Hi, welcome to Holden Village. Today is Saturday, July 27th, 1996. In the fireside room this morning, our speaker is Susan Chernahoy. Today, she will be continuing her series on Water Washed, Spirit Born. Today's session number is 5 and is titled, To Juggle? Balancing God's Calls in One Household. Let's listen in.
My name is Susan Chernahoy.
And my name is David Wongard.
And the title of this session is Water Washed, Spirit Born, To Juggle, Balancing God's Many Calls in One Household. Now we're on.
Good.
I'm Susan Chernahoy, and I serve as a pastor, as assistant to the bishop in the St. Paul Area Synod. And some of you, I think, are members of one of the congregations of the St. Paul Area Synod, so it's kind of fun to meet here at Holden. And I'm married to this guy, who is?
David Wongard, as I introduced myself earlier, and I am most recently a pastor at Christ Lutheran Church on Capitol Hill. I started 8 weeks, and now I'm going to be gone for 4 weeks. It's a perfect schedule of life in terms of dealing with juggling. And we have a daughter who's soon to be 4 in September, and her name is Ingrid, and she's over at Narnia this morning.
And so what our vision was to offer up our household, and households, as you know, these days look very different, and I use the word household to say who knows what's in that household. It could be you and a dog. It could be you and a friend. So it's a household, whatever that looks like. And I have real confidence that you're, even if it's just you and a cat or you and a household, you're juggling just the same way as all of us who have a few more components to it. And so whatever it looks like. And we happen to be jugglers along with you. And so we thought that this might be really helpful as we look at the Spirit bearing us into households in which we are trying to live faith-filled, faithful lives, and sometimes it's really hard. And so we want to invite you into the conversation with us. I'll get you going, and then if Dave says something I don't like, I'll certainly challenge him on it. And so I would invite you to do the same for me, too. So we don't come with answers, but we hope that we can open up a conversation and find some common wisdom here as we try to be faithful jugglers. Okay?
Good.
Juggling, I think, is a marvelous image. I have really been thinking about that. And so I'd like to really take on the title seriously, Water Washed, Spirit Born to Juggle, and think about juggling. Dave and I had our first calls to Native villages north of Nome, Alaska. And about 2 months out of the year, there wasn't snow on a road, and so we traveled it a lot, about 73 miles across the tundra from our village into Nome to haul fuel oil and food and what else, did propane, all those things that we needed for the rest of the year. And since we had a vehicle, which basically stayed in Nome, but we got to use it in the summer, many of the villagers also loved to hop along and be able to go and do shopping and so on and so forth. One of our dear friends, we'd had to take a boat across from Brevig, and then we got to the truck, was Joyce Toctu. And if you know about equipment, we tried to maintain it, but you don't learn about mechanics in seminary. And tires were hard to find. And so one wonderful day, we were heading back to the village across the tundra, and sure enough, we blew a tire. And it's dusty, and we're sitting in the middle of, really, it isn't nowhere, but to many of us, we would perceive it as nowhere. And so we stood by the road, and I think we had to wait for another tire to come up, and so there we were. And so Joyce is this beautiful, very large Native woman, a caricature, if you've ever seen, with her beautiful flowered parkie, and they take the skins off in the summertime, so it was just this cotton cusbuck and brightly flowered. And so we stood, and there we stood on the, and they always, I don't know why they always sit like this, but their legs straight out on the side of the road. And all of a sudden, as we're just having an enjoyable time waiting for whatever's going to help us get home, suddenly Joyce reaches into the pockets of her parkie and starts juggling. And it's the image that I think of that I think helps us to see there we were, just waiting for something to happen, and something did. And she took what she had, and I can't even, if it was rocks and a bottle cap or whatever, and suddenly we saw a gift we didn't know that Joyce had, and she just juggled for a long time and would pick up other things and begin to juggle these too. Keep that image as we think about juggling God's calls in this household of Joyce Taktu on the side of the road, on the tundra, with the reindeer, and juggling with whatever was in her pockets. I am not a juggler myself. I'm, as you know, one that you think of as a juggler. I don't know if we have jugglers here, and I would certainly look for your wisdom. So I will simply think through this juggling thing as one who observes. Since I don't juggle, I can say that I don't believe it's something that occurs naturally. Right? I mean, to juggle is not something that I was born with. Perhaps you were, but I wasn't. I could not have three things going at once and be able to have them do anything but fall. I think that has something to do with water-washed, spirit-born, to recognize that as a human being, some of what God calls us to do doesn't occur naturally. It's very hard. Which leads us to think about, it's a challenge what we're doing in our households. And as we perceive God calling us to do things as an individual, as a couple, as a family, as three individuals, it's a challenge to begin to even think through what it is that we have in our pockets. And so it leads me also to the next thing that I think, it takes practice. And so I think that's what we're about on this pilgrim journey that we take. It takes a lot of practice. And as you know, you fail sometimes and you succeed sometimes. But it is to say it takes a lot of practice. And sometimes you go down a frenzied way and you don't have time to practice. But I think as we think about juggling, it takes practice. What I delighted in as I thought about Joyce Taktu juggling by the side of the road is juggling takes lots of different things. Dave later on is going to talk about stress or tension, and I think this is precisely some of that. It's lots of different things. If you know that beautiful children's story, The Clown of God, think of the different things that this little clown juggled. It is to juggle zucchini with balls, and eggplants with carrots, and apples with oranges, and things that are round and things that aren't round. And it takes all of these different things, different colors, different textures, and that's kind of what it is to live this faithful life, is to juggle a whole lot of things that don't seem to have a lot of things to do with each other. Another thing that I think about juggling is it goes higher and higher, and it gets bigger and bigger and rounder and rounder. I think that is, as we grow in this whole thing, perhaps our juggling gets higher and higher too. But as I think too of when you see a juggler along the side of a road, or you happen on a street fair or a marketplace, I have to say as an observer that it is absolute sheer delight. One, as an observer, and it must be delightful to the juggler too, but as an observer, to see the incredible gift that seems so simple is delightful. And I think though we feel so much tension and stress in our own lives, to those who observe our households, there's a certain delight. I have enjoyed the challenges that multiple family units have at Holden this week. I happen to be one of those. And I delighted when I hear children screaming or having a tantrum. I delighted in that juggling activity because we had screaming and routines are all out of whack. And yet there was a certain delight that we work it through as a whole village and as a community. But it's delightful to observe households, whether single, double, triple, quadruple. It is delightful to see them struggle and have beautiful opportunities to serve and live faith-filled lives. The beauty of the juggler. What I also think it works here as we think about juggling calls in our lives, it is to seek to bring things together into an order. not that order is what we're about, but it is how do we live together. And so it is to bring in zucchini and chairs or pine cones or rocks or whatever it is. And with all of these crazy different things, it is to create an order and to build a circle, something that has something to do with each other, and that's where the household comes in. And as you know, as we are challenged to eat together and grow together and get people off in the morning to this, not, and even here at Holden it is to make that between 7 and 8:30 or to make that 5 o'clock sharp or 11:45 sharp for lunch, it causes movement. And so that's the juggler. It's a movement. It's a dance. I mean, you just don't stay in one place as you are living out your call to juggle these many calls. It has to do, then I think, too, to get back to the challenge of it, and it takes practice, all of us can also confess with some delight that we drop things. We just simply drop things. And then it all stops. And it is to say, and we pick them all up. This is where I would like to say, I've been looking at us as jugglers to recognize that I believe that God is the one who finally juggles. And it is finally God, as we say, I can't take this. I can't believe that, you know, I don't have any more energy. And finally it is that marvelous divine juggler who picks up the pieces and gets it going again. And that's the confidence that we have as we begin to explore stresses in our lives, that ultimately we aren't the final juggler. But in fact, God is using us and we're up and running in this whole kind of global circle. I think, too, it's amazing to me. For me, it's a little bit magical. I don't know how to juggle. And so when I see households doing this, I'm just simply amazed at how it all finally works. And kids grow up and individuals respond to God's calls and do incredible things at home or far away. And with Joyce, at times, juggling is simply spontaneous. It happens on the side of the road, or as we're hiking to Holden, or in the midst of a conversation. It's spontaneous and it happens when we don't even expect it. I didn't know that this great woman that I was living with in the village, in fact, could juggle. And she used what she had in her pockets. I find that a gift, that God has given us what we need. And so we got it all in our pockets. And she probably didn't even think that we were going to have a flat tire and that she'd have to pull these things out and juggle. And there's a sense in which God's given us all that we need. And so sometimes we just got to pull something else out of our back pocket that we didn't even know was there. And that spirit born it. It's the Holy Spirit who finally gives us the ability to reach in and say, I didn't know I could do that. It's amazing what God has put into our collections and into our pockets. And it's delightful to begin to see how those households work. And as I talked about, it takes practice. And I think, you know, ultimately there's failure. And it just doesn't work. And so I think it puts us back to God as that great juggler. And then sometimes, and I want to end with this as I kind of think about juggling, and sometimes it works. And it is just great fun. And so those are some of my thoughts as we begin a discussion of households. Anything came to your mind in terms of this idea of juggling and living in these crazy households?
Yeah, many times we forget to drop, purposely drop something.
Mm-hmm.
Or we juggle too much. We're trying to impress too many people by juggling too many things. I think God so often has to grab our hands away and let certain things drop.
Yeah.
Or let us actually rest and not juggle for a while because we've been over-juggling.
Yeah.
I think we forget to do that. We get so entranced in the juggling,
yeah.
We forget why we're juggling. And we get so entranced that the juggling is why we're here.
Yeah.
Instead of the things we're juggling are more important than the actual juggling itself.
Yeah.
And we get caught up in these cycles of juggling.
Yeah, we do.
And matter of fact, we impress each other by juggling more. There's
yep.
a one-up juggler.
Yep, the one-up juggler. Yep.
And it's a super juggler. And I think that's one thing I missed at Holden. Holden is where I got to drop the balls and come here and enjoy the things I was juggling instead of the juggling. And when I go back, I know I'll be seduced by the super juggler and intimidated by the super juggler who seems to have it all together, and yet you don't know what's in their lives.
I think two things came to my mind as you had this kind of picture juggling. And one is that the rhythm of it, and that how important that is in life to have rhythm. And sometimes you're doing things fast, and sometimes you're doing slow, and just to understand your own schedule's rhythm so that you don't get so stressed out when it's busy. You can look ahead and say, but in 2 days, that day is open, so that the rhythm of things. And then the other thing about juggling is you don't always have your hands on the balls at all times.
Yes.
And I thought of children.
Yeah.
That's the, as a parent, as your child is getting older, you let them go, and you don't hold them. Mm-hmm. And that's the scary part of juggling, is to throw your kids up in the air, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there is a release.
They will flow and get into the rhythm of life, but let them go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and maybe we can use that. Yeah, we don't need to run this metaphor into the ground, but it is that there's a sense in which it is just flying, and there isn't a clutching, and it is that you can't control it all. It just has a life of its own. Yeah. Other things. Okay.
I thought it was an interesting part about this exercise is Sue's been teaching all week and I haven't, and so there was really no time for us until this morning to actually talk about what we were going to do. So, but each of us said we had to each write down our own feelings on this topic. And I think what was really interesting is Sue came out as one who loves to watch the juggler. I can't stand it. Which is that other dimension into a household is not everybody views everything the same way. I mean, I guess for me, juggling doesn't make sense. I have two hands. Aren't two balls good enough? You know, why add more things? You know? And my frustration is I hate to drop the ball. And so I'm trying with two balls, and people have tried to teach me how to juggle, and it takes a certain rhythm and a certain balance and a certain sense of carefreeness about it. It takes practice. When you only have two hands to juggle more than what your two hands can take care of. It's trusting the balls a little bit. A contemporary word that I used to talk about how one feels when they drop the ball is stress. And so I was at the Resource Center, and I'm just going to write up the definition of stress. And the definition I'll write up here is this: an applied force or system of forces that tend to strain or deform a body.
Why don't you keep talking? I'll write it up.
Well, this is how I'm filling my time. If you don't think this is stressful. Okay, you can write it up. An applied force or system of forces that deform a body. I was at the Taste of Minnesota a couple of weeks ago, and they had a juggler working there, and I watched this guy juggle. And my head just kept going and going. And for me, that's really what stress is watching all these things zooming around and feeling that you have no control over what's happening with these things while they're in the air, when you only have two hands to grab all these other things that are flipping around. I think you all know what stress is. I can't imagine that there's anyone here who has not experienced stress in their life, or that power that strains or deforms your being or your body. Stress is an age-old human problem. I don't think there's any getting around that. As long as there has been people, there has been stress. People from the very beginning have been under stress. And from the very beginning, people like us have tried to deal with it. For fun, I looked at the story of Adam and Eve, the very first humans, and thought about their life. And if they were here, they would talk to you about stress, the great stress that they felt in their lives. And I think, you know, a simple way to define their stress is they fail to live up to being the people that God intended them to be. That's what created the stress in their life. And so how did they try to deal with it? Think back on the story. How did they try to deal with their stress?
Blamed each other.
They blamed each other. They hid from it. They blamed each other for it.
They denied it.
They denied it. They didn't. What they tried to do was not deal with it. They hid from it. They blamed each other for it. They didn't take responsibility for the fact that they simply could not live up to being the people that God created them to be. And what happened to them? They went from the garden and died. They died to their stress of not being able to be the people that God had called them to be. So from the very beginning, thinking of Adam and Eve, people have been under stress. And from the very beginning, people have been trying to deal with it. I've been a recent expert on stress because I felt a whole lot of it this past year. And I thought what I'd like to do now is just to kind of tell you a little bit about our life this past year. And then I'd like you to break up into groups of three. And maybe if you're sitting by your spouse and there's stress taking place between you and your spouse, maybe it'd be best not to visit with them. But that's, and then after I tell you a little bit about our life, then turn and just share with each other what you're juggling right now and the balls that you're dropping and the frustrations that may be causing you. Or maybe you're like Sue, where it is a blast.
Well, I didn't say that.
Well, anyhow, last June, our life seemed to be going really well. Sue had a really good job. And
they should get out Kleenex. No.
I think you'll identify with a lot of this. And I had a part-time call at a church in Moorhead, and I would work in the mornings, and then the afternoons, I would pick my daughter up at daycare at noon and take her home and take care of her the rest of the day. It was a great blend for me. I had two hands, two things, job, child, spouse. Well, we work on that. But those were my two balls, and it felt really good, those two balls. I had control of those things. And then in June, we had a bishop's election in northwest Minnesota, and Sue's position ended, which means that we had to relocate and find new work, and with a three-month window of severance for Sue. 3 months to find new jobs, to find a new community, to find a new house, to find a whole new support network. And so, luckily enough, Sue received a position in the St. Paul Area Synod, and so I said goodbye to my congregation, and we packed up the moving van and came down to St. Paul. Now I was home full-time with my daughter. I'd never done that before. I can't say that I delighted in the opportunity. Now I had one ball in two hands and wasn't doing a good job of getting that one from one hand to the other. I went down with the understanding that there would be a call for me too into all of this. And before we made this decision, Sue said, I think we have to remember that there will be a call for you too, that God does not send one person without having a call ready for another. I didn't figure it would take so long for God to put that other ball in my hand. And so I sat home for 6 months with my daughter contemplating my vocation. And if you're from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, it's just jam-packed with pastors. And so it's not like there's calls available. And the stress it caused me was tremendous. I had this sense of call that I was not able to fulfill. And what I found myself doing then was I've spent my whole day with my daughter, that loneliness of into a new community when you don't know anybody, and the tremendous amount of stress I felt there. And, you know, it's just, it's part of who I am. It's to feel stress. I can't help that about myself. But there wasn't rhythm or balance in my life. The balls kept dropping. I finally received a call, and it's been great. I mean, to have some rhythm and balance in my life again. But I wanted another halftime call, and now I'm full-time. And so now we have two full-time parents. We have a daughter in full-time daycare who had been proceeded to be booted out of the first one we put her in. But, but that's another story of stress. And so now there's a strong sense of call that I had three strong senses of call. One is to be a good spouse, one is to be a good father, and one is to be a good pastor. But when you're full time again, my call to be the good father that I want to be, I can't fulfill that. And when we're both full time, we don't see each other much, and so to be the good spouse, I mean, I can be one heck of a good pastor by hanging around there all the time. But so there's those other things that take place. So then, you know, I was so looking forward to coming to Holden to drop those balls. But it's amazing to me that no matter where you go, there's always stress. And now the stress I feel has been trying to find three seats together at 5 o'clock dinner. You know? I mean, you just can't avoid it. I just can't avoid it. So that's it. Do you want to add anything about the past year?
No, that was very good. Okay.
That's a little bit of my story. And so if you would just form up into groups of three and just share your stories of juggling with each other. And then I think it'd be fun then to just see if we can find maybe some common themes or threads among us all. So go ahead and we'll do this quick.
Three or four or eight.
I think what I'd like to do is just take a couple of minutes and hear from you to see if you found in your stories common threads, if you want to share. Did you feel any, in sharing each other's stories, did you hear any common threads that were real similar for people?
Change?
Can you say more about that? Change causes stress.
Any change.
Anytime that the balance is...
Particularly moving and having babies. The most fun.
One of the things I really liked was when you talked about rhythm and the rhythms of life and the changes in the rhythm of life are points that are stressful, retirement and babies.
Yeah.
In our group, we have a lot to deal with parents who become ill and aren't changing role from child to parent of our parent.
Yep. Changing roles. Anything else? Good work.
There are stresses that are just the normal. Like when we're in a windstorm, there's a stress. But there's the added stress, and that's when our hopes become have-tos. When we want life to be different.
Yeah.
And then we strain ourselves because it isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We talked a little bit about, I think you guys touched on this before, but the need to trust God in the midst of making those changes and you know, not knowing what's going to happen and, you know, hoping that it's going to work out all right.
Yeah.
Trusting God.
I thought back on, you know, living life and juggling, and how do we do it? You know, how do we deal with the stress of having all these balls going around. And I thought back to the Adam and Eve story. And I think in that story you get some good clues on good ways to not live in the midst of a juggling life. And the first is not to hide from it, you know, is to not try and deny it. You know, I think so much of it is accepting, and for me it's been accepting the fact that I'm always going to feel pressures and stress in my life. It's just the way life is. And I don't think, no matter how many self-help books we read or how many miles we run or how healthy the food is we eat, certainly those things help tremendously, but there's still going to be that juggling, that going on. And the second thing in thinking about Adam and Eve is not to let it kill us. And part of that comes from the realization that it's just going to be with us. So how do we live in the midst of juggling, in the midst of lives of stress? How do we find health or balance in our lives?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do you have thoughts on people who choose a stressful life? Are you going to touch on that at all? I've talked with people who said, oh, I'm so busy. I says, well, what's going on? Well, Sally's dancing, Sally's playing soccer, Sally's doing this, Biff is doing this, Biff is doing this, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. Now, I look at that life and think, those are choices that you have made. I think, is there a personality thing about that?
That's my spouse. And it's an interesting thing, is if you got a lot going on, if something seems like exciting, add some more. Just keep adding the balls. You know? I mean, that's a simplification we talked about this morning.
I mean, my heart goes out to people who are stressed because they have an aging parent in the house, the child is on drugs, the husband's job fell through, or their own job fell through. I have great sympathy and empathy for that stress. When Sally and Biff need to be in five organizations and we need to work so hard as we go to the Bahamas, I have difficulty empathizing and sympathizing with that stressful life. Because there's some bad choices made there. They've picked up those balls. They haven't been.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to sometimes understand what is stressful for another person. It's relative. If you think you're stressed, you are. Even if someone else is looking in going, oh gosh, you know, what's the big deal? I do that and I do this and this and this. Or, but if that's the sense that that person has that they can't deal with anymore or that their plate is full, then it really is.
Yeah. I think that's a really key thing. You know, because I know for me and some of the decisions that I've been making this past year, it's been really hard for me not to look at some of my friends and think, how they're doing it, what's the matter with me? You know, that kind of everything looks good on the outside. You never know what's really going on the inside. And maybe it's going excellent on the inside, and that's fine, but I'm not them.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, and I think that really leads us into, you know, these communities of faith. And there is we are very much a part of a culture, and I know that we have some people from Canada, and I don't know if, I would think that there's a similarity in cultures that would have us doing 10 things at once. I mean, there's a compelling to fit or to make sure your children have all of the options that are available to you, and so you work two shifts and you do all of this. And our culture would expect that of us and, in fact, affirm us. We get a lot of strokes for this, although you're saying you wouldn't do that. And so I think as we think about our communities of faith as sanctuaries, where if suddenly you have decided that your calling is to resist, which is very difficult. I mean, your child wants to be where their friends are. I mean, we aren't at that point yet. We don't race around very much. But some of you do race around. And how do we then faithfully, answering this call to simplify, how do we enter into being a community of resistance and to be affirmed in that decision? You know, you're talking about those are choices. And in the community of faith, we're talking about faithful lives here. This is, we are in a Christian community. I think that is very important. And then as we resist something, then how can we create something constructively? I mean, I think
We talk about building healthy communities. Well, how can we be a part of that? How can we talk with, athletics is a good thing. Music is a good thing. These are all good things. And then how can we work together so that we can maybe have, you know, so I think a culture of resistance is very difficult. I mean, but how do we then band together as families and say, this is how we've chosen to live? And I think, and then that worship becomes a sanctuary or a place away from what is out there. It's very hard, yeah.
I just wanted to point out, I don't know if you talked about this before, I came in late, but... Well, I think that sometimes in our communities of faith, we also encourage this hectic activity.
Yes, we do. We bought into
all these activities, and they're on different nights, or they're not set up so that families can do them together, or... one thing, for instance, that helped at our church last year is a little change in schedule so that the children's choir met at the same time as the adult choir, and there was a nursery. And that one little change made a whole bunch of people's lives so much better.
Yeah.
And little things like that, or helping to coordinate what you do in the church with what's going on in the community, mm-hmm. so that people don't feel like they're rushing from one picnic to the next picnic, or, you know, like, why does there have to be a picnic in September for every organization you belong to, and then there has to be a closing picnic in May for every organization you belong to?
We're getting close to the end, and I just want to leave a couple of points, and then we'll finish by just this sort of sharing, and you don't even have to talk
Can
about
it. Can I say
this.
One more thing, though?
Okay.
I mean, I think Chris's point is a good one. I mean, I think as we think about shaping these communities of faith, so that, I mean, if... because we do program, we talked about that in another session this week, but we do love to program because everybody else is. And we lose sight. And one congregation that I visited in, they have decided that, one of their whole callings in life is not to program anything. And it's a fast-growing suburban congregation, I think a real justice church wanting to be also faithful in other arenas. And they want to keep people away from the building. I mean, they have intentionally wanted to, and so they really reflect on every activity at the church if it is an essential to the mission of this place. And that, is it worth families coming or separating families or dividing families? And so I think it's a good thing as we reflect even on these communities of faith that make us just as much running around to choir practice too, and you want your kids in the youth group and you want them to do this. And I mean, we need to really critique also the communities that give us the word and the food. So we really have to think about that.
There was two things that have been meaningful to me in how to find balance and health in the midst of all the juggling I do. The first was a little thing I read this week written by Gail Ramshaw called A Metaphorical God. And there's some stuff in the bookstore by Gail Ramshaw. I'm not sure if this is in there. But she just, a simple phrase is that being in health is in being with God. Just health isn't all about having life in order. Health comes from in being with God. That's where we find health in our lives. Health comes in living out the lives which God has called us to live. It's that sense of each of us. Sue did a session on this a couple of days ago, but discerning that sense of call. For me, the call of being a pastor, the call of being the sort of dad that I really want to be, and that discerning the call of being the spouse I want to be and the community member I want to be. A lot of different calls, but living in the sense that this is what I feel called to do, and know then that if it's truly God's call, God the juggler is actually juggling these things with me and for me. Another one of my favorite stories in scripture, I think, is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. and talking about being under stress. Holy cow. And on his knees and praying and crying. And then Jesus says, not my will, but thy will. And then from that walk of his ministry, which then brought life to himself and to all, there was a sense, I think, of peace and health in Jesus. Another favorite thing that has struck with me was in that first human sexuality document that got all the from the LCA. That was there were sections of it that were controversial. It's a very stressful document, but there was some phrases in there on mission and on marriage, and I think it could be applied to all of us, whether we're married or not. And it says, joy in marriage is discovered when it is seen as a shared relationship in the context of a joint calling carried out in witness to the reign of God. And life is lived, joy is found in life when it is lived to witness to the reign of God. For me, those are just powerful words. That's what my household is to be about. And if that's what my household is about, even with all that juggling, there will be a sense of balance and health to that family. I just want to finish up by saying, in other words, put what we are juggling in God's hands. And if God wants us to juggle those things, God will juggle them with us. One more definition of stress. And from now on, I'm going to try to look at stress in this manner. Not this definition, but this one. And I didn't make this up. This is right out of the Webster's. And in fact, this is definition number 3, the one I had up here. But the first definition they had is placing significance or emphasis on something. In other words, what is the stress we should feel in our lives? What is a true sense of stress? It's placing significance or emphasis on something, or from that other definition I took, on witnessing to the reign of God. Maybe that needs to be our definition of stress, is placing significance or emphasis on something, or to take that word something out and put the reign of God. And maybe that then will really help us in that sense of judgment.
Well, it's 11:30, and we promise no answers, so I hope that this has been helpful to you as we share one household with another, and thinking about the delight of juggling it at the same time as the challenge of it. And so I thought, to end our time, let's just pause for a minute of prayer, if you can hear me. And so let's pray. Gracious God, we are grateful that you have entered our lives in the waters of baptism, and that you have given us the gift of a Holy Spirit that is present in our daily lives and compels us forward into your future. We are people who balance and juggle many things. We pray for your gift of rest and renewal, for Sabbath in our lives, and for the courage and boldness to continue in your world and into your future. We are grateful for this time to reflect on all of those things that we are about in our daily lives. And we pray that you'll continue to give us the energy and the drive to live faith-filled lives, ones that bear witness to you in the worlds and communities and households in which we live out our call. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.